admittedly distinct concepts. One of them being Drishas Eretz Yisrael, Tzion Hi Daresh Ein La, the obligation to, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, to have sort of this mentality of, seeking out the welfare of Tzion. And we pointed out that that gufa is reciprocal, right? There's a yearning of Tzion for the Jewish people, Rachel Mivakal Baneha, Sos Tasis Visagel Ha'akara, etc. So there's that goes in both directions. And we pointed out yesterday that what's really fascinating is that the way that we're Doresh Tzion is very mitzvah-centric, right? The Gemara wants to know, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai expanded the scope of certain mitzvos? So the Gemara answers, that's a function of Drishat Tzion. If you want to seek out Tzion, then the way to do that is by increasing mitzvos. Not even mitzvos atzlios baretz, but just mitzvos in general, right? Lulav, kol shiva, etc. So we thought that was very fascinating, but perhaps not surprising, given which makor that sensitized us to that. There are at least two or three we could cite. Yenison is the primary makor.
You say the Ramban, or maybe what's called Tesis?
But even earlier than that, it's even before the Rishonim, but there's like pretty striking evidence, welcome Ezra, in Chazal, that the way that we, develop a Tzion mentality is by upping our mitzvos. Interestingly. Avi?
I was going to say you use the Medrash Lekach Tov.
Right, which is also the Sifrei, right? Hatzivi Lach Tzionim, which not surprisingly comes from that same section of Yirmiyahu, that we should, remember Tzion through the mitzvos. Ultimately, right, because that's the pshat, is that, v'shuvu el araya chela, the way that it back to the arim that we were exiled from is through doing the mitzvos. And admittedly, there's something in that medrash about how all mitzvos take on a different dimension in Eretz Yisrael. Well, we'll see that Ramban and Achrei Mos today, of ikar kol ha-mitzvos be'eretz. About that gemara in Ksuvos is the notion of Nasa Vinishma, about the opportunity for an increased level of mitzvos, which takes us back, Ilan, to which Gemara? Which Makor, about Moshe's desire to go into Eretz Yisrael? Right, so V'chilachol mi'piria v'lizbo mi'tuva hutzarech, right? Ella, right, l'kayim is ha-mitzvos, it was rather a desire to perform the mitzvos, okay? So, again, the drive towards Eretz Yisrael is very much a drive that's rooted in a mitzvah orientation, in a normative orientation. So again, all of the very beautiful parations in that Gemara in Ksuvos, whether it's mitakin mitkalei, whether it's being careful not to say negative things about Eretz Yisrael, whether it's kiratzu avadecha savana v'esafora yechonenu, whether it's b'minashe kipi da'ako, all of those very, admittedly almost graphic, presentations are really in the context of Eretz Yisrael being what I like to call the Makom HaMitzvos. So, as I mentioned yesterday, and just to briefly review, right, very often we talk about Chibas Eretz Yisrael almost taking on like this, metaphysical quality to it. But as we see, if you actually look in Chazal, on the contrary, it really seems like the yearning for Eretz Yisrael has everything to do with yearning for mitzvos, and we'll try to explain why we think that is. I don't think it's an accident that we find that interface. Anyway, that was the basic premise. So, in light of that, what we tried to demonstrate was that, or rather hypothesize that if it's really true that Eretz Yisrael and our attachment to it has a lot to do with it being the Makom Shel Mitzvos, so a very good way of testing out that theory is to ask the question, what are the grounds upon which you can
leave
Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so Yenison, what did the Gemara in Avodah Zarah stipulate, basically?
That if, Avodah Zarah, I believe it's Lisa Isha or Talmud Torah.
Right, so it's Lisa Isha Talmud Torah, and what else? What's the other factor? Rami?
Business.
Right, I mean, I wouldn't say business per se, right? It doesn't say mecha chumemkar, but Ephraim, how would you reformulate business? It's not just business, but...
You're talking about Yerushalayim, no?
Hatzalah mina akum, right? That is conceptualized as, you know, part of the broader, part of the broader war that we have against Akum. Let me just, I'm getting an echo, so let me just, I don't know if we can mute this for a second. I don't know what's going on. Okay, anyway. So point is that, and guys, just unmute yourselves. I'm not going to say anything. So the point is that, you know, for the sake of a war against Akum, kol kofir bevodazara, moda b'chola tarakula, Ilan quoted yesterday, gemar nechulin davei, and then we had Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. So, you know, the obvious approach to those gemaras, that gemara, is that, Eitan, what's the yichus there? Of Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha? Simple reading, as noted by the Balei HaTosfos.
That you're going to return afterwards?
Well, that's another issue, right? So Daito Lachzor, right, makes it all the more important that Eretz Yisrael, right, remains an overarching value, but you can, you know, skip outside for a second if you need to take care of something really important. But that's a little bit of a separate issue. But in terms of our hypothesis, right, you might say that, if Eretz Yisrael's value is really in terms of it being the Makom HaMitzvah, right, so... Noam, what would we say? That this is the issue between the Balei HaTosfos and the Shiltos?
So if you can't do these mitzvot, you should go out.
Right, these mitzvot are so fundamental, right? Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, and Lisa Isha being tied into Piria Virivia, right? And being, you know, Domel Lishvichos Damim, and Memayid B'dmus, if a person's not going to do that. So, you know, you have to weigh Eretz Yisrael against, you know, these mitzvot chamuros. And that was the easiest way to understand it. And certainly if it's Daito Lachzor, so then that makes the point, I think, in an even more dramatic way. What was the Shita of the Shiltos, Yehuda, and how can we contend with it? So the Shita of the Shiltos, prima facie, was a challenge to our theory, no doubt, but we tried to neutralize it in a particular way.
The Shiltos said you can leave for any mitzvah.
Right, he says what the Gemara means is Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha, which are Kili, and I think we explained yesterday what that might mean, but okay, go ahead, Yehuda.
We were able to deal with it by saying that because Eretz Yisrael's main goal is to enable mitzvah, so it would not make sense to say that it could prohibit you from fulfilling mitzvah, so it could be fulfilled in chutz la'aretz. Therefore, you could leave for any mitzvah.
Yeah, we gave the mashal yesterday. It would make no sense for social distancing guidelines to imperil people's health. You know, the very mechayiv is the idea that they're supportive of people's health, right? So if we had to find the shita, you know, in the Rishonim, Eitan, this is back to you. So you find the Shita in the Rishonim that basically says the sum total value of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has to be measured in terms of its capacity to allow you to fulfill mitzvos. Who would that be?
Ramban.
Who would that be? In terms of its... Ilan?
Rav Chaim Cohen and Tosfos.
Right, that's the Shita. Rav Chaim Cohen and Tosfos says that the whole discussion regarding Moredes, Teitzei Beloksuba, or Teitzei Biksuba, who wrote Salalos? He wrote Salalos. Who wrote Salates? He, Shana, wrote Salates. That whole discussion, right, is not relevant, right, in medieval times, because in medieval times, you know, the ability to use Eretz Yisrael as a makom that's more expansive for mitzvos, especially the mitzvos atzlius baretz, because he came from that point of view, as opposed to a Ramban point of view about Chovas HaGavra. So he says it's impossible that Eretz Yisrael should impede or interfere your capacity to perform mitzvos bichlal. Okay, so we noted, you know, people always talk about the machlokas between Reb Chaim Cohen and the Ramban in terms of whether, you know, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Ramban, yes. Rambam, not enumerated. And Reb Chaim Cohen saying it depends. You know, that's the classical presentation of sugya. But we're doing a little bit of a different presentation. We're actually trying to highlight the interface between Reb Chaim Cohen and the Ramban, because what does Ramban say? The Ramban says, I'm not talking about the Ramban citation in the Shichas HaEsin, that in fact it is a mitzvah, as we noted yesterday, with Chovas HaYachid, as well as a kind of, Chovas HaAretz, which is to say that Lo Nazven Lishmama. But Ephraim, what's the interface?
That, whereas Chaim Cohen thinks that it only potentiates mitzvah to HaAretz, the Ramban Davka thinks that really all mitzvah
are heightened to their true fulfillment only in the land of Israel.
Right, so that's Ramban and Achrei Mos that we'll get to today. But just, and I'm glad you mentioned that, right? Ikar kol ha-mitzvos beretz Yisrael. That's the way he understands. Hatzivi lach tziyunim, shelo yu aleichem kechadashim. That's definitely a point of divergence. But what, where's the point of similarity in terms of relating to Eretz Yisrael as the makom ha-mitzvos?
Yeah, and as Yishuv Eretz Yisrael really being the shame for mitzvos.
What Akiva?
Not that Ramban doesn't conceptualize it as a value in its own right, right? But that I'm not sure what I was going to.
Akiva?
The Avos only kept mitzvos and Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but Ramban's theory is that there's a whole tkufa in history when Eretz Yisrael alone is the makom ha-mitzvos. It's like the Ramban had to defend Yosef's Shmira Shabbos in Mitzrayim. He says, but look, you know, he's living in a makom avodah zara, and Shabbos is kula keneged kol ha-Torah kula, and you know, what's going to be with the kinder, right? So, you know, it's a triple defense of the, you know, of that idea. So again, the point really is that, you know, Eretz Yisrael should be the singular makom shel mitzvos. And that's really what we established yesterday. And then, in light of that, the shita of the shiltos, which I think is really such a profound shita in the sugya, takes on enormous significance. Okay, so that was the basic layout that we put yesterday. I included the Gemara and Sota. I thought it should not have been left out in terms of, you know, the aspiration of Moshe, V'aschanan al Hashem ba'isa hilei mor, was really all about Eretz Yisrael as the makom ha-mitzvos. Okay, so that's where things stand now. Let's take a question from Akiva. And then let's try to proceed apace. Go ahead, Akiva.
So if we're using the, like, social distancing mashal of, like, it kind of assumes that there's no other value to Eretz Yisrael except makom ha-mitzvos. So is that a viable approach?
Well, again, for Chaim Cohen, that's basically what he's saying, right? And that's the Rishon that I'm using the analogy for. Clearly the Ramban would go beyond that, but what I'm just pointing out to you is, you know, when you hear this shir 1,000 times, so you hear people contrast the Ramban with the Rambam with Reb Chaim Cohen. I'm just trying to show you that that's a little simplistic, that, you know, the truth is that the Ramban also thinks that a massive, massive part of the, yichus, the value of Eretz Yisrael is in terms of mitzvos, v'haraya, not just because he thinks Yishuv Eretz Yisrael itself is a mitzvah, but v'haraya that it was the makom shel mitzvah prior to Matan Torah. V'haraya is, Ephraim jumped the gun a little bit, but he's absolutely right. The Ramban and Achremos said it's the ikar kol ha-mitzvos be'Eretz Yisrael. As we explained yesterday, well, Levi was asking what the mechanism is, it's because the entire rest of the world is, you know, underneath this interceding layer of saros, etc., malachim v'saros, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael, which is asher Hashem elokecha dereshosa tamid enei Hashem elokecha ba. It's, you know, there's nothing intervening. There's nothing that intercedes between hashgachas Hashem and the, you know, dwelling therein. And so there's a massive interface between the approach of Reb Chaim Cohen and the Ramban, even if it's not exactly the same. Okay. So let's try to go a little bit further. So we saw again the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We saw Tosfos. We saw Tosfos quote the Shiltos, which is extremely important. And now we'll be back in the Makoros. Let me just try to put it into the chat so Yehuda can get a copy also.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Okay, you have to let me know if that works.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so yesterday, I guess I neglected to mention one point, is the irony of the, us taking a very permissive position, so to speak, with respect to leaving for mitzvos, Talmud Torah, Lisa Isha, Hatzalah Mina Akum, and if you believe the Shiltos, Kol Shekin Shar Mitzvos, in a machmir position with respect to leaving Eretz Yisrael, Afilu She B'makom Sakana, which both the Rambam and the Ramban seem to agree to, So that we mentioned yesterday, that's almost the opposite of what we would normally expect. Chamira sakanasa meisura. We tried to explain it in this light, that if Eretz Yisrael's value is in terms of mitzvot, you're more likely to be mekel for a mitzvah than you would even be for, you know, sakana. I said, and all of that, you know, has to be tested against v'chai bahem. Okay, so now we're up to this famous tshuva of the Mabit, which I think is a very fascinating tshuva, but a rather extreme position that he stakes out. And to contrast that with what I think is Rashi's position on the topic, though I have to make an inference in Rashi. Okay, so Ilan, you want to read the Mabit for us?
Or
in this case, b'ksuva sa, it's in her specific ksuva, right?
Shelo yotziana ladur b'shum makom acher gam kibud avayim gadol sharei Yaakov avinu alav hashalom ne'nash chaf beishana. Yorinu rabbeinu im chala neder v'im yuchala lasos hatara uscharcha akaful. Tshuva, chayev l'kayim nidro v'inu chayev lachush litzvas avi v'imo she'amru lo shelo yilech k'dalfinu an perakama de'evamos. Deim amar lo avi veimo hitame o al tachzir lo yishma dechsev ish imo veaviv tira uveshab tosai tishmoru kulchem chayavim bechvodi.
This week's parasha.
Ki dechsev besefei dekra ani Hashem. V'acha nami hu veaviv chayavim lador beretz Yisrael ve'en lo onesh al she'enu mekayim mitzvas kibud avayim shegam hem yicholim lalo simo v'iskayim u'beiz mitzvos yeshivas eretz Yisrael v'kibud avayim. Umashma hasam de lav davka mitzvah, vazara shabbas de kra airibe, de docha mitzvah skibur avaim, ala afilu kol mitzvah, vafilu mitzvah sase le chuda, kiritanya al tachzir, shigi mitzvah sase, shabim mamon, vikela, de hotra michlala be zakin vein alifi kvodo.
Right, this is the mitzvah of Hashabbas Aveda, visalam to mehem, zakin vein alifi kvodo.
Vafilu hachi docha kibud. Kol shakin mitzvah sishiva saretz Yisrael.
Okay, so he's saying Mishiva ourselves is a mitzvah chamura. So kal v'chomer that will be docha, right? The mitzvah of kibud avim. And anyway, you know, it doesn't have to be. It's not necessarily competitive because why don't his parents move? Right, they too. They could join a retirement community in Israel. You know, go to the OU center for shiurim in English. We don't have to take Olpan. Okay, so the ode.
ועוד בשעה שמחזירנו יכול לקיים כיבוד אביהם, יצטרך להשקע או כיוצא בו, שהרי אין אבי ואימו וגם אינו חייב להחזיר, גם כן כיוון דקיימס מצווה סחזרה על יד אחר, ובשיבה סארץ ישראל יוכל לקיים שתיהן. אם יעלה אבי גם כן, שכולם חייבים בשיבה סארץ ישראל. ועוד דהכה, Iko treas te mitzvas yeshiva saretz Yisrael u'mitzvas kium nidro shenader lalos v'ladur u'mashenen ash Yaakov avinu alav hashalom mipnei shehaya what is that?
You want to figure it out from the context? You could, if you think the next two words, you'll get it. Right, Yaakov avinu was nanash. You'll figure it out right after it. Shehaya roi. Anybody want to? I'll go back to the Zoom to see. Anybody have it? Yenison?
Florence?
Good. So Florence. What's he saying?
He's saying that after you. Hold on. I'm just looking back at it again. This was called that. After your. What's called. That. Yeah, Avina was. What's called. Was Danish from going back to the Florence. And he was also. It was only right because after he was. After he was. What's called. Married, right?
It was the opposite, right, situation. Right, he would never have been nenash if he was in Eretz Yisrael, right, and his father was the one in Chutz Laretz. But the problem was that he was the one in Chutz Laretz. Shahaya Roy. Ilan, you see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, that's a very unusual reading of that topic, right? He's speculating, right? He doesn't say that anywhere, but he's speculating, oh, you know, had Yaakov been the one in Eretz Yisrael and not Bekayim Mitzvahs Kibud Avaim, because he was in the run in Eretz Yisrael, and his father, you know, was the one in Chutz La'aretz, so then it would have been no problem altogether. Now, it would be really interesting, wouldn't it, if we could actually find a scenario where, you know, somebody was going to Eretz Yisrael and his father was stuck in Chutz La'aretz, and what the implications would be for Kibud Avaim in terms of challenging the Mabitz doctrine. I mean, that would be really fascinating if we could find such a theoretical makor.
Hypothetically.
Right. If somebody could find such a theoretical makor, right? You might actually not have to look like all that far to see, right, whether or not the Mabitz reading is entirely obvious, or as I would put it, very far from obvious. Okay, so he wants to say that was the whole issue. Yaakov should have come right back, and that's the Chav Beis, you know, Shana. Yosef was sold at 17, and he meets him at 39, and that's the Onesh. Okay, so it was only an Onesh because, you know, he was the one in Chutz. Had he been in Eretz Yisrael, and his father had been in Chutz Laretz, we would have told Yitzchak, you know, why don't you make Aliyah? You know, you diaspora-loving materialist. Okay. Umatzasi b'trumas hadashen.
Siman mem, shekasa v'atalmi sheyarotza latzeis mimidinaso leumorim rab, echad sheyabatuach sheyir asiman bracha lefanav, ve'aviv haya mochebo, ve'aya mitztar harbe, v'chasav de'ein tzarech lishmoalo, mahi de'erevin, bar Yossi, Omer,
that's what we saw, right? There's a shita that we encountered, right? We saw the version of Avodah Zarah, but right, that this is b'shem Rabbi Yossi, that, you know, it even for a particular rabbi you can leave, right? And not just, you know, it's not just a question of I can't learn in Eretz Yisrael, but I can learn in Chutz La'aretz, but even to optimize your mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so v'chasav. Okay, so he again wants to, you know, say that there's no Dvar Mitzvah here, it's only Dvar Isser, because the Dvar Isser would be staying outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he's totally, you know, looking past maybe the Shalom Bayis is a Dvar Mitzvah in terms of his wife. Okay, you know, he can make that assumption. He's saying the Kibud Avim isn't really a Dvar Mitzvah here, because his parents are basically telling him to violate the Torah anyway. Ishimov Aviv Tirov, Eshab Sosai Tishmoru. So it's a very, you know, emphatic, almost what I would call, even to the point of being one-sided, kind of an approach. Okay, just a little bit further here. Uma.
Shavava sheila shegam ishto eino rotza v'toena shekasu b'ksuvasa shelo yotziena lador b'shumakom acher. Efshar lomar ki en kavana shumakom acher ki im lechutz laretz v'lo laretz Yisrael.
Oh, had to meant that. When she write, you know, you can't take me any other place because I want to live next to, let's say, my parents. Right, she couldn't have possibly included Israel in that. It wasn't chal on, when she said any other place, it certainly wasn't chal on Israel. Shelo yisnu amash kasa, but Torah can't be snai against the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. V'avim hayinu omrin, we'd say like, you know, a shocking thing, shakavana ha'isa gam la'aretz Yisrael, that when she said no other place, she actually meant no other place, if we're willing to entertain such a svara d'chuka, okay.
V'yat na'i. Shahu
Aldvar Isser, right? Because normally we talk about in, right, you can't be Masa Mashkasa Batorah, but if it's something, you know, there, it can be, if it's a Davar HaKolel, in other words, okay, fine, it's Eretz Yisrael, but China and Guatemala were also included, so it's not like, you know, somebody wrote in there, you cannot take me to Eretz Yisrael, so he has to contend with that. Right. Kedetanya, as we saw, this is the Gemara in Ksuvos that he wants to rehabilitate. Wow, so he wants to say even Ladine Mamanos, we're gonna get her.
Kiritanya Kofin Vihule, Vihadar im Lav Tetse. Hule Dehavale Misni, Huomerlalos, Biomer Shalolalos, Tetse Veloksuva, Umide Katani Kofin, Mashma de Kofin Kodem Bidvarim, Vimlo Tirtse, Tetse Vim Tetse.
Okay, good. So he wants to say the proper reading of the Gemara in Ksuvos is that really the first thing that we try to do is to force her to do it, to encourage her, to compel her, to convince her, and you know, it's ultimately going to cost her Ksuba. Okay? Okay, so basically, you know, and he goes on from here. This is like a very, you know, what I like to call it, like, the very one-sided approach. The way that he sees this is, as he declared at the very beginning, is that basically, you know, none of it matters because, you know, as far as his wife's concerned, you have the Gemara in Ksuvos. Maybe we would give her a Ksuba because, after all, she put the Tznai in, but probably not because, you know, he pretty much sees it as a Masna Malshikasa Batorah. Noam, I'm with you. I do think you have to feel for her. She's probably thinking to herself, you know, this guy, you know, what a mistake. As far as the Kibud Av Va'Em, he's like totally unsympathetic. He says, like, you know, look, let his parents make Aliyah. Okay, you know, they're in their 80s. It may not be, you know, they're going to have, what about their doctors? You know, too bad. He's like very strident about it. And he basically says, you know, if your parents told you not to do Shabbos Aveder, to violate Shabbos, would you listen to them, right? Ishimo ve'aviv tiro, reshab sosai tishmaru. It's an absurdity. So, you know, and let them make aliyah so he can be mekayim shneim, and he should never be shoel on his neder for dvar iser. So you're talking about, like, it's very strident point of view. And, what about Yaakov Avinu? You know, the fact that he wasn't mekayim kibud av v'eim, and the, he doesn't quote this, but the Yerushalmi being chamura, you're saying that the Kibud Av Va'Em is a chamura, mina chamuros. It's extremely chamur of all of the, you know, mitzvos and that we have, and you know, has to be taken with like the highest degree of seriousness. All of this is not interesting to the Mabit. And he says, look, you know, there's no way that Yaakov would have ever been Nanash if he was absent Kibud Av Va'Em of his father 22 years, and he was the one in Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak is the one in Chutz Laaretz. Like that, he's just so sure of that point. So, first and foremost, I wanted to show you this Mabit really as a foil. Because what the Mabit is basically saying is, it's all very black and white. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah of this, you know, significance, right? He doesn't quote it, but you might as well throw the Sifrei onto the, you know, pile here, right? Shkula Keneged. Right, Kol HaMitzvot Shebat Torah. So, you know, it's clearly more chamor than Kibud Av Va'Em, right? And everything else for that matter, right? You can almost like see this Mabit posted, you know, on the wall of Merkaz Harav or something like that. You know, he's like totally, totally convinced of it, of the chumrah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's just like, it's just more important than everything else. And anybody who would try to prevent you from so doing is, you know, to Dvar Isser, it's Masna Malshikasa Batorah. Right? So our thesis is like the diametric opposite. What we're saying is that Eretz Yisrael's value is the Makom HaMitzvah. So very naturally, what you'd have to do is you'd have to ask about Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis your ability to perform the other mitzvos of the Torah. So just keep it Av Aim and Talmud Torah. Lisa Isha, just to give, a random example, but a not so random example from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, right? You know, so the Mabit is, you know, taking, I think, you know, what anybody would agree is a massively extremist position. Now, which Makor, not such a hypothetical one, was I alluding to before when I said, oh, it would be really nice if we could find a case, you know, where, you know, you could isolate Kibara ve'em, and Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and just play up the my bits hypothetical scenario and say, you know, the issue was going to Eretz Yisrael, right, and leaving one's father behind, you know, in Chutz Laretz, you know, which he says, ah, for sure Yaakov would have never been Enosh. Okay, Rami, what am I alluding to?
Rashi.
Right, so you just want to summarize Rashi. It's a fascinating Rashi. We know that, you know, again, Terach was 70. Terach went Shivim Shanava, Yolod Es Avram, Es Nachor, Es Aran. We know that Avram was 75 when he came to Eretz Yisrael. Unless you believe some of the conspiracy theories about the Bris Ben Abisarim being when Avram was somehow 70, you know, and him sneaking into Israel in advance and then going back to Haran. It's a very fascinating topic in the Parshanim and Lech Lecha, whatever. So he was 75, and we know that Terach lived 205 years, which means that it's not the way that it simply reads, Vayamos Terach b'Charan, that he died, and then Lech Chamiyatz Chalat Chazon B'Yesavicha, but Terach will live another 60 years. So Rami, how does Rashi formulate it? It says, why does the Torah give you a misleading impression?
Because we didn't want to make it sound like Avram was the one that killed his father because he didn't do Kibud Av'im.
I don't think anybody would accuse Avram of murder, but...
No, sorry, that was a bad way of phrasing it.
Meaning what? Not that I think people would accuse Avram of being a murderer, but...
So that it wouldn't be publicized that Avram didn't do Kibud Av'im?
Exactly, that it would be, you know, zilzil, it would be a ganai. If, you know, people, you know, who weren't as indoctrinated into the Torah, you know, neophytes, would read the Torah and say, what kind of religion is this? You know, you're going to go on this spiritual excursion, and you're going to abandon your aging father? Bishlam Menachar was also in Haran, you know, so it wasn't literally abandoning him, but Afal Pichein, you know, Meich Tesi, you're going to leave your father. You know, laniach kibura. So that's why the Torah had to cover up for Avram. I don't mean that in a bad sense. So what does that suggest? I mean, there are definitely multiple ways of reading that. So one way of reading that is, okay, so, you know, the Mabit's right. And clearly, you know, Eretz Yisrael is more important than kibura avim. You might say that. But that's not the only way of reading this Rashi. I certainly don't think so. Shimi, what might this Rashi be saying?
It could be saying that if not for Hashem explicitly telling Avram to leave, Avram was not supposed to leave.
Exactly. That al pi adibur, right? You know, anus al pi adibur, right? Al pi adibur, so Avram had to do this. Lechacha, me'aretz chmilatas chami beis avishcha la'aretz asherecha. But unless you have a very specific dibur, this isn't something that you would normally do. This is something that would be untoward. This is something that would be inappropriate for a person to... You know, abandon an aging father for, you know, a spiritual excursion is not an acceptable course of action. So that was the way, frankly, Shimi, I always read that Rashi, right? That it took a dibur, me'es Hashem, right? Lechacha, me'aretz chamilatacha, me'beis avicha, to justify this. You know, obviously that's colored somewhat by my, in all fairness, by my understanding of Eretz Yisrael as the makom ha-mitzvos, and so you always have to calibrate it against other mitzvos. But I think that is, you know, a very significant challenge to, you know, the Mabit's very strident, you know, point of view, that it's basically the equivalent of somebody telling you to violate Shabbos, etc. Yeah, Ilan, go ahead.
So the way I read Rashi was, shelo yehe adabar mefursam lakol v'yo, not that he actually wasn't Mekayim Kiburav, but that so that it wouldn't be like a Marasayan that he wasn't.
But once he's gone, how do you see him as, what you're implying is that he actually did Kiburav. How, where do you see
not
him?
Not that he did it, but that there was no Tzorech to do it, because maybe Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is really better. And that it would just be a Maris Ayin that he wasn't doing Kibud Avayim, but he had a Ptur.
Right. Okay. So you could, again, you could definitely read it that way. It's not Chad Mashma'i. I think it definitely raises the question. Okay. So let's take a look now at the Rambam. So the Rambam, of course, you know, was probably the best Rishon in terms of trying to figure out our way of looking at, you know, sort of determining the value, as it were, of Eretz Yisrael as a makom shel mitzvos, So the Rambam took a whole stand on a number of issues that we raised, a series of stands on a number of issues that we raised, I think make it pretty clear what his position is. And I think that there is an even more subtle point in the Rambam as well, which I think is also confirmational. Okay, so Ezra Seppel, let's take a look. This is the Rambam's presentation of mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael. I didn't say mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because that's not something the Rambam says. So go ahead. Aser Latzeis.
Aser Latzeis me Eretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz l'olam. Ela lilmo Torah olisa isha olahatzil min ha'akum.
So he's clearly working on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah with a daito lachzor perspective.
Yeah. V'chein yotzei hu l'skora. Aval l'shkom l'chutz l'aretz aser. Ela imkein chazak shamarav ad shenaz eshvei dinar chitin b'shnei dinarim. V'lai dvor mamurim.
So the Nischaivu Kli Alamakum, right? So this whole idea is that the Rambam takes a stand, right? And he says it's that Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha are Chamiri, it's not Kili like the Shiltos want to say. And as far as mitzvos goes, you know, those are really the template of mitzvos that you have. You can leave very temporarily for business as well, for Parnasa. But in terms of sakana, the Rambam draws a pretty hard line, right, based on the Gemara Baba Basra and Ischaivu Kli Malamakom, right, there you should really try to hold on. So we're more permissive, basically, with respect to mitzvos than we would be with respect to sakanos. Okay, so that's the Rambam's presentation. And I think the Rambam Shita is even, more compelling than maybe any other Rishon in this regard. Because the Rambam, right, doesn't have a separate mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He never says that. And if you ask, there are all kinds of theories about that. But if you'd ask me for my theory, I disagree with both the Megillas Esther and Rav Kook. And I would say the following is actually Shitas HaRambam. Who remembers what the Megillas Esther says? Ilan?
Based on the Gemara and Ksubos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, it's Aser to go back to Eretz Yisrael, so it's not Noeg L'doros, I think.
Exactly, because of the Sheloyalu Bachoma, fine. So that's the Megillas Esther. Rav Kook, you know, took the opposite point of view. How did Rav Kook try to explain this Rambam? Why did the Rambam count it? Yenison?
Kolela.
Right, it's a mitzvah HaKolela, so it includes the entire Torah, right? That seems very difficult to understand. I would say that the Rambam didn't count it as a separate mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but rather chose to formulate it as Asr Latzeis Meheretz Yisrael, as the Rambam always felt that it had to be calibrated against other mitzvahs. That Eretz Yisrael is kind of this meta-mitzvah, right? Obviously, it enables you to do many mitzvahs Atzuyos Baretz. Nobody's going to deny that. But, and I'm not saying it's exactly the same as Reb Chaim Cohen, because I don't think it ends there for the Rambam. I think the Rambam didn't focus on the assay side. He focused on the los assay side, assuming that, again, all else being equal, what you want to have is you want to be in Eretz Yisrael, right? But the mitzvah, quote unquote, of Eretz Yisrael is itself, right? Built into that are various dispensations, which is Talmud Torah, Lisa Isha. Of course, you should always try to get back there. Schora, Lahatzel, Mina Akum. So again, I think the Rambam's focus was much more calibrated in terms of the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and its ability to either impede or facilitate other mitzvos. Ad kedekach, that you don't even count it as an independent mitzvah, right? Because to do so might be to prejudice whatever the circumstances were. The Talmud Torah circumstances are, the Lisa Isha circumstances are. So I think that's a part of it for the Rambam. Then the Rambam like seamlessly goes, and this is almost an inspiration for our presentation, from the discussion of when you can leave and when you can't leave, right? And sakana for the Rambam is not a pure justification because you still have the Midas Chasidus, okay? So now, Ezra, we're ready for what you were about to start reading.
Sorry.
So now he says that Gedolei HaChachamim Hayu Menashkin Al Tchumei Eretz Yisrael Menashkin Avanel Misgaglin Al Afara, like Mark Stewis, V'chein Hu Omer Kiratu Avadecha Es Avanel Ves Afara Yechon Neinu. Amru HaChachamim Kol HaShochim Eretz Yisrael Avonosav Mecholin Shneemar Uval Yomar Shachein Chalis Ya'am Hayoshev Ba Nishva Avo. Afil Halach Ba Arba Amos Zoche Lechayin Olam Haba V'chein HaKavar Ba Niskapelo Adam Eretz Yisrael, Afilu Beir Sheruba Akum, Ve Al Yidor Bechutz Laaretz, Ba Afilu Beir Sheruba Yisrael, Shekol Yotze Lechutz Laaretz, Kiu Ovir Vodazara. Shneemar, Ki Yershuni Ayom, Yisnapeach, Benachlas Hashem, Emolecha, Agon
Elohim. Emolecha, Agon Elohim. Achir, in front of Suro, Meir, Ve'al Admas.
Ve'al Admas Yisrael, Lo Yabal.
Right, so again, the Rambam, only at the very, very end, comes back to La'olam, Yidor Adam Be'eretz Yisrael. So it's a little strange, right? If he wanted to say that, let him say that on the front end. So again, I take that as confirmational of this idea that Eretz Yisrael is a default for the Rambam, right? You don't want to be anywhere else, but the Rambam wants to front load the various exceptions to show that it's not an absolute and it has to be weighed against things like Parnasa and Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha, again, with it being a default and, you know, Yachzor L'Sham as soon as possible. And then he starts talking about Chibas Eretz Yisrael, G'dei Chachamim Ayu Menashkin Al Tchum Eretz Yisrael. I like to say that that's L'Shitasenu, the idea that the affective, emotional embrace of Eretz Yisrael has a lot to do with, and maybe primarily to do with, it being the Makom HaMitzvah. That's why he quotes here, Avonosav Mechulin, right? It's a spiritual, I don't mean spiritual, again, in the numinous sense, I mean that in the normative sense. It's the mitzvah center, it puts you in a spiritually better position, etc. And then, right, he comes back only, you know, at the very end, L'olam Yidor Adam Be'aretz Yisrael, even if it's going to put you, again, in a demographic that's suboptimal, versus a better demographic, you know, in Chutz La'aretz, that's still, you know, weighing the various factors, right? You'd still rather be in Eretz Yisrael because in the cost benefit analysis, Eretz Yisrael is worth more as far as it's being Nachalas Hashem is concerned. So again, it's just a theory. Nobody can prove it exactly in the Rambam, and I think probably true of me as much as it was true of the ones that I mentioned, the Megillas Esther and Rav Kook. It probably tells you more about the one who says it than necessarily the Rambam, but it always struck me that the Rambam never enumerated it as an independent mitzvah because really it has to be calibrated against other things, not just in the sense of Reb Chaim Cohen, can I, in a narrow sense, fulfill mitzvah satzulios baretz, but because it's kind of a meta-default. Of course you would want to be in Eretz Yisrael. Olam Yudra Adam Be'eretz Yisrael. It's not really a separate mitzvah, but it's the makom hamitzvah. It's almost like a hechsher for all of the mitzvahs, especially the mitzvahs atzliyos baretz. But again, there's a sensitivity and an allowance for you to leave for the sake of other mitzvahs as well. So just one final makor before we get into some divrei chasima here, which we may not have the opportunity to do fully inside, but we'll definitely touch on the major points, which is the Gemara in Brachos. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Vav, again, you could just read it as an Agadita, but I like to make more of it than that. Daniel Becker, do you want to take a look? This is the 15th source.
Shnemar, Vayhi kolos ubrakim, va'anan kaved alahar bekol shofar begomer. Vayhi kol hashofar begomer, va'ha elokim yanein bekol. Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak amar ki ilu bana achas mechorvos Yerushalayim shenamar ki yashiv eshfus haaretz kirishona amar Hashem.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, obviously, very powerful makor in terms of simchas chasen v'kala. Why that's important? Rav Shachter, you know, allows for the talmidim, you know, to leave seder early to, you know, get to the wedding on time. Simchas chasen v'kala. Certainly, very, very important, right? The Gemara says you're zocha l'Torah, so that's already, you know, it's not a kula in Talmud Torah, but it's a chumra. But what I'm interested in, of course, is that last line of kilu bana achas michurvos Yerushalayim. So, you know, you could take, again, it's a, you know, agadic view of that. But anybody want to try to build it into our Mahalich? Yeah, Akiva?
The whole p'tur of Lisa Isha is not really a p'tur, but Lisa Isha is a din in Binyan Haaretz. So you're actually being Mekayim Drisha / Binyan Eretz Yisrael by being Lisa and Isha and bringing Chasan Kala, Simchas Kala, as opposed to them being at odds.
Right, so helping, you know, be bona, bias them on Yisrael by being misamech them, put them on a solid footing, you know, which is really the idea of the mitzvah, Simchas Chasan Mekala, is to strengthen, right, that the language that Chazal use is always, you know, lechaveva al bala, right, that it should be on a stronger foundation. That's why Simchas Chasan Mekala is such a mitzvah chamura. It's really related to Shalom Bayis. I always like to give the mashal to the Talmidim about, you know, it's like you're building there at the foundation, the Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. People should come with their hard hats. Sometimes for the shtick they actually do. But, you know, if you'd ask me what's the best shtick, I would say it's to show up with a hard hat and a vest maybe and a shovel. Because that's really the essence of the mitzvah. So, kilu bana achas michorvos Yerushalayim basically means, yeah, you know, the redevelopment of Eretz Yisrael, you know, isn't just an isolated phenomenon, but it's tied into the idea of the restoration of Klal Yisrael. So again, you could be at a wedding in Brooklyn or in, you know, Azerbaijan, probably smaller Jewish community there, Lechora. But the point is that, you know, just like Binyan Eretz Yisrael, Bana Achas Michorvos Yerushalayim is a very important step in national restoration. So it's not just the Eitzim and the Avanim and the Binyanim, but it's Klal Yisrael. And so building Klal Yisrael, being Misameh Chasan V'Kala, is synonymous with building Klal Yisrael. You're helping build families, right? Is Ki'ilu Banachas Michorvos Yerushalayim. So he anosenes. That's exactly why Akiva was absolutely right. That's the same basic principle that allows you to leave Eretz Yisrael, Lisa Isha. Okay, Dai Tulachsor, so it's best to be Mekayim Shneim. Right? But the whole point is that, you know, you can't, unlike the Mabit, you can't look at all of these things in isolation. You have to weigh it against the entire and total picture. More like Rashi's presentation of these things all being in dialogue and in balance with each other. Okay, so I see David has a question, and then Rami as well. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say that maybe from Achlan and Kilion that it wasn't maybe necessarily that it was Sakana, but that it was Gedolei Hador specifically. So it wasn't for anybody to do it, but because we're the Gedolei Hador, it was a more serious transgression on their part.
Yeah, the Gemara definitely not in other places makes it seem that way, right? That Ephrasim, that they could have been the Mefarnes, the community, and they weren't, right? So from the Rambam, I hesitate to say that. You know, because he seems to say they were Gedolei Hador and they had a lot of Zechuyos in Afal Pichein, Nischayevu Kliya, right? But so I don't know that that's proud for the Rambam, but I think that could definitely be an alternative view. Rami, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, it definitely makes sense that Lisa Isha is a national restoration and a redevelopment of Eretz Yisrael. But there are definitely other mitzvos that are more indicative and more representative of the Jewish people that would restore the Jewish people. So why aren't those exceptions too?
I can't think of any two that are better than Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. You'd say, what get... I don't know if they have any more. Like 15 years ago, Yeshiva University opened something called the Center for the Jewish Future. Maybe it was more than that already. And, you know, it definitely had like the most bombastic title of any organization, probably of all time. The Center for the Jewish Future. I thought it was like, wow. that's really a different madrega. So if you would ask me, you know, what goes on there, the center for the Jewish future, I would say, well, it's probably Talmud Torah, right? That's, you know, obviously, you know, the sine qua non for a Jewish future, right, is to perpetuate the Torah. Like, you know, we're in this Sfira Somer. V'haisa olam shamayim. The Gemara doesn't use that language, you know, stam. The world was desolate. You know, ad shabar Rabbi Kiva, etzel rabo sinu shebedarom. Heim, heim. Right, hamidu Torah osasha. So it's got to have Talmud Torah. And I would have said, it's also probably got to have YU Connects. Memela. The Center for the Jewish Future. So it would have two things, the Talmud Torah and Lisa Isha. So Rami, I can't think of anything else. What would be better than that?
What about Shabbos?
Especially for Yosef HaTzadik. You need Shabbos for your children.
What's that?
Yosef puts a Shabbos.
I'm saying, but how would you formulate that? You can leave Eretz Yisrael to keep Shabbos?
Well, no, that's why I'm confused. Isn't like Shabbos is definitely a more of a defining quality of the Jewish
people. I'm saying, but the Gemara is looking for things where you might not be able to do this in Eretz Yisrael. So can you, let's say, forego, if you want to call it mitzvah sisha of Eretz Yisrael, or the olam yidur adam Eretz Yisrael, if you want to, you know, calibrate it for the Rambam. So you have to think of things that are, you know, may not be possible there. Right? Okay. So I don't know, you know, what would be better and more apt than these two mitzvahs. Ezra, please.
Not like a specific question, but let's say it's about, like, you know, determining the spiritual, like, your family, what it's going to be like, what your kids are going to be like. Is that, like, especially nowadays, it's a big concern as people, like, they want to make aliyah, but they're like, I don't know if this is the best place for me to, like, a certain community, and it's hard for them to find the best place for them.
That's,
so I was just wondering how that plays into this.
That's basically the reason I'm giving you these shiurim, is so that you will ask that question. How and where you want to be mechanech your children is the single most important question you'll ever face. This is a defining question of a person's life. And that has to, of course, be, you know, dispositive. And by the way, I happen to think Kibbutz Avim is also enormously important. And Ezra, you won't be surprised to hear me say, I actually think it's related. I think your children seeing you engaging in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim is an indispensable part of their chinuch. I think that's one of the worst sacrifices that, I'm not saying it's wrong. I think you've seen that the presentation is that you can't take a stand. The ultimate conclusion is that the Mabit is wrong, not because of his conclusion, but because you can't say in any specific case, you know, that it follows Klali rules. It has to be calibrated against all of the factors that are involved. It's not like somebody, your father tells you to violate Shabbos, you know, that's a klali thing. But Eretz Yisrael, right, it's much more subtle than that. Right? You can't just say mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam didn't enumerate it as a mitzvah. Rav Lichtenstein, who was obviously extremely, you know, passionate about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, once told us that he went to a kenes of Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivot Hezder, and they were debating there whether it was a good idea. In all seriousness, I'm not making this up. He actually put this into an article. They were debating, to his shock and astonishment, whether this Rambam should not be taught in their high schools, you know, to censor this Rambam because it would diminish people's passion for Eretz Yisrael. Like, you know, that they should literally censor the Rambam to, you know, better fit their ideology. You know, only teach the Ramban's view. You know, it's outrageous. You know, just, you know, shape the Torah to your perspective. So Ezra, that's exactly what I want you to walk away from. This Yishurim, exactly the concept, which is you have to, Eretz Yisrael's enormous value. Eretz Yisrael's value is expressed in terms of mitzvos, and you have to figure out, you know, in terms of mitzvos, not in, you know, again, not in this, like, you know, amorphous spiritual sense, but where you can really maximize, you know, and it's a very personal decision. So, you know, again, I'm a very, very big supporter and a very big Zionist, you know, in that normative sense, but it has to be very carefully calibrated. And again, that's my theory, for what it's worth, as to why the Rambam didn't say it's a separate, independent mitzvah, right? Because it's the mitzvah, as it were, quote-unquote, that is most sensitive to other mitzvos. On the one hand, it potentiates enormous mitzvos, the mitzvos atzilus baretz, but it could come at the expense of other things. And, you know, you have to think through that and think, you know, think carefully. David, you were waiting.
Sorry, I think I kept my hand up, so.
Oh, okay, great. Levi.
You said, Rabbi, that having a foundation of children is the most important choice you'll make in life. But what about a Sophie's choice?
Thank you. Okay, so just a preview for... the tomorrow, I guess I didn't get to it today, but the Ramban is obviously the Ramban in Achrimos, this week's parsha. I guess it's not a bad thing to be doing Erev Shabbos. Represents, you know, the highest, the most ambitious, let's say, formulation of the idea, right? When the Ramban says, you know, Ikar Kol HaMitzvos Be'eretz Yisrael, right? That's not just the Reb Chaim Cohen, the Mitzvos Atzilus Baretz, but Ephraim, you had mentioned it much earlier today. Right, and we'll go through his mechanism as, you know, quickly as we can. But basically, the Ramban's point of view is that, you know, the mitzvos themselves, you know, take on all of the mitzvos, chovos agavra, chovos atzilios baaretz, all of them are at least an additional kiyum in Eretz Yisrael. So again, for the Ramban, because that's true, you know, the impetus to get to Eretz Yisrael is that much greater. So it's not, if you'd ask the Ramban, probably, as we'll discuss more tomorrow, you know, the impetus to get to Eretz Yisrael, so he would definitely tell you that it's an intrinsic mitzvah. But I think it wouldn't just be, it's an intrinsic mitzvah, and even a mitzvah that shkula k'neged kol mitzvah shebat Torah. I think what the Ramban would tell you is that the impetus for so doing is because Ikar Kol HaMitzvos Be'eretz Yisrael, that it impacts literally your observance of the entire Torah. So even Lashitas HaRamban, the point is that because he specifically believed that Chovos HaGavra took on an additional Kiyum in Eretz Yisrael, so that meant that you had a greater impetus to get to Eretz Yisrael. But let's say you didn't subscribe to that. Right? Not everybody has to believe that. Right, the Rav, for example, didn't accept that. Rav Huttner did, the Rav did not. So if you didn't believe that, the Rav claimed, he said, he never understood what the Ramban exactly meant by that. You know, of Ikar Kol HaMitzvos Eretz Yisrael, even the Chovos HaGavra. So if you don't believe that, so probably even the Ramban would tell you is, look, if you don't believe me about that, I do believe it. But if you don't believe me about that, certainly your Shikulim would be different. Because then you'd weigh, you know, a more standard or conventional approach to Chovos HaGavra against, you know, let's say, you know, the values of Eretz Yisrael, and the values are many. So again, you know, this is a very, 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 very subtle point. So tomorrow we'll see the Ramban's presentation of that issue of Ikar Kol HaMitzvos Be'eretz Yisrael, where the Ramban takes that Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim and the Sifrei, and he really builds it up, and he has a whole mechanism to explain it, as we talked about yesterday, because it's Nachlas Hashem. Yenison spoke to it in response to Levi's question. And the issue for then the Ramban becomes, it's so much more than just an isolated mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but it's really the mitzvah that allows you to have the maximal kiyum in all other mitzvos. So again, my point is, just to conclude, that even for the Ramban, the an overwhelming drive towards Eretz Yisrael is predicated on what it means for your other mitzvos. And in that way, it exists very much within the same type of a spectrum as Reb Chaim Cohen, the Rambam's calculations of Asur Latzeis Me'eretz Yisrael, unless it's for an overwhelmingly powerful mitzvah, and maybe even the Shiltos as well, if you're willing to make the assumptions that we have regarding the Shiltos, that he has this super maximalist point of view that Eretz Yisrael can never get in the way of the mitzvah because, you know, Eretz Yisrael is the makom hamitzvah. So if there's a mitzvah that you could only uniquely do outside of Eretz Yisrael, so of course you'd have to go and do it because Eretz Yisrael can never be a mitzvah impediment. It always has to be a mitzvah catalyst. Okay, so we're getting closer here. So, God willing, what we'll do tomorrow is we'll begin with the Ramban, and then we'll look at a couple scenarios that seem to support the Ramban's idea of Ikar Kol HaMitzvos Baretz Yisrael. Some of them are the Ramban. One of them is even the Rambam. And then we'll conclude back with the idea of the longing for Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael's longing for us. Fortunately, a lot of the material here is Achrei Mos Kedoshim. So, you know, it also doubles in that sense. Okay. Sorry for going over. We will pick it up with Shmona Prakim in 30 seconds.